You know, Brittany, nothing gives me naked confidence like hitting the gym first thing in the morning. The rush, the endorphins, it just sets the tone for the entire day.
Ooh, I like that. Naked confidence.
Yeah.
It's all about the perfect playlist for me. The right music can uplift my mood instantly.
You know what a close second is for me?
What's that?
Not stinking. That's why I use Lumi Whole Body Deodorant. It's like a secret weapon against odor, powered by mandelic acid.
Yeah, you're odor-free for up to 72 hours. I love how Lumi tackles every odor concern with natural ingredients, and I appreciate its versatility. I've tried it everywhere, from pits to feet. It never disappoints. Plus, it's baking soda-free and pH balanced for safe use.
And the fact that it's clinically proven to block odor all day, well, that's a game changer.
Definitely. And with Lumi Starter Pack, new customers can get $5 off with code TLC at LumiDeodorant.com. It's a great deal for a fresh start.
Don't miss out on feeling confident everywhere you go. Visit LumiDeodorant.com and use code TLC for a special discount.
That's LumiDeodorant.com. Cheers to confidence with Lumi.
This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
It's just part of my DNA.
It's just part of my DNA.
Part of my DNA.
My DNA.
Yeah.
You're listening to the Laughing Couple podcast with your hosts, Brittany and Ryan Ostafy. Join them weekly as they discuss topics such as relationships, kids, sex, parenting, all unfiltered and all with a healthy dose of laughter. Please welcome your hosts, Brittany and Ryan Ostafy.
I actually don't know why I said that.
Teach them well and show them lead the way.
Isn't it? Something like that?
I don't know what the next line is.
Oh, MJ. You know, we're going to start the podcast now? Or is this it? Are you starting the podcast by singing? Okay. So, you know, you want to hear a fascinating thing about Michael Jackson?
Yeah.
When Michael Jackson died, I was en route to North Carolina.
Everyone knows where they were.
I was en route to North Carolina. And I received a bunch of phone calls from friends and family members checking in on me.
Oh God, I have such a weird counter story.
I didn't realize that I was a Michael Jackson fan until everyone called me to find out if I was okay with the news of Michael Jackson dying. I was like, do I listen to Michael Jackson a lot? Like, why are all these people calling me of all the people here to call and be like, hey, Ryan, are you cool? Like, everything all right? Michael Jackson just died. I was like, I didn't realize I was a big fan of Michael Jackson. But when I think about it, I'm like, well, I did listen to Michael Jackson in front of other people. So maybe that is the case.
My boyfriend in high school, also named Ryan, who looks like Ryan.
Has the same birthday as me too. Just 3
We've
years
We've already
later.
Talked about this. He is Ryan's doppelganger.
He is my doppelganger.
It's so funny. Anyways.
Weird.
Same thing. He was obsessed with Michael Jackson. And when Michael Jackson died, everyone was like, Armac, are you okay? Like, I know that this is probably really hard for you. So the fact that
this is weird.
It's super weird. It's like the same person. Like, it's almost like you guys were like split. You were created and then they were like, well, here's two versions. We'll have some overlap. But like, it's super bizarre.
3 years apart from different vaginas. Yeah. Mom?
Anyways, yeah.
It is weird. And then here's a cool story. So when we get to North Carolina, this is well before, if you think about it, the world's changed so quickly. This is well before VRBO and well before Airbnb.
What's VRBO?
It's like Airbnb, but a different company.
Verbo?
Verbo.
Verbo.
Yeah.
Okay. Verbo.
VRBO. Is it, do people pronounce it Verbo? They actually spell it out? Verbo?
Oh.
Oh, I thought it was VRBO.
Like the Lickbo.
Yeah, see? It's LCBO. LCBO. Is it?
What?
What's that restaurant that we go to in Cambridge that...
EVO.
EVO.
EVO Kitchen.
And I called it EVO. And
they were like,
the owner's
get out.
Like, it's actually EVO. So anyways, Airbnb, really before all that time, you would, and this is before like GPS, you would print out your maps. You'd print out your maps on,
Before GPS.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And he's Madonna. It's just part of Madonna.
My DNA.
Yeah. Anyways, you print it out on, what was that? What was the
MapQuest?
Yes, you printed it on MapQuest. So this is back in the MapQuest days when Michael Jackson passed away. We get to our hotel. The reason I set that up is because you do not know at that time if you're booking a hotel in a good neighborhood or a bad neighborhood. Mm. We found out very quickly we had booked in a very bad neighborhood.
Oh, really?
In North Carolina. Yes, very much so.
Like lots of crime?
Like I was swimming in the pool with my buddy Josh Hammer.
A bunch of condoms everywhere.
And there was two black Cadillac Escalades that pulled up right beside it. And when he was laughing at black Escalades that pulled up. And a massive drug deal happened.
Hold on. I have to clarify this. That's from a skit from Mad TV. Yes. Like the gym. But I just want people to not think that we're just like black A. Like it's Blake and then A Ron.
I have a feeling everyone's
I promise you there's going to be someone who are being like, all right, you say that.
Well, I don't think our audience is like that. I think our audience is very generous with their listening of us. Anyways, a drug deal happened right in front of us.
Oh, wow.
But again, not knowing where we were, we went out to the club and we walked into this club. As soon as we got in there, I looked around and I realized
you were out of place.
That I was out of place.
Yeah.
Big time out of place. And everyone was looking at us like, what the fuck are you guys doing here?
Yeah.
And I said, because they were having a Michael Jackson night. Like, and I love Michael Jackson, right? So
all your friends knew.
I said to Josh, I'm like, Josh, we got two options. We leave right away and just go grab some drinks and go back to our hotel room. Or we go,
we do our planned routine that we've rehearsed.
Or we go right to the back to that big guy over there, the scariest looking dude in this entire place. And we make friends with him. I said, if we make friends with him, we're going to be good. So what do? We walked all the way up to him.
Awkward
His
Josh.
Name was Zion the Lion. That's how we pronounced. That's how he said. That's how he introduced himself. His name was Zion the Lion. And he had like a lion's mane, dreadlocks, lion's mane. Anyways, we befriended him, bought him a drink. We had one of the best nights of our lives that night. It was incredible. It was very intimidating in the first 38 seconds. Not going to lie. Because it was like Michael Jackson was like, I believe the children are hurt. Yeah. The whole music stopped and like, what are those guys doing here?
Yeah.
Anyways, it was scary, but it ended up being an amazing night. So yeah. I love Michael Jackson. Way to start the podcast that way.
You're welcome.
Do you want to tell your stories? You got some stories?
Yeah.
Because I'm angry and I want to talk about why I'm angry, but okay. I just talked about Michael Jackson for 5 minutes.
Lead with, they're both kind of like high school related. So I was talking to somebody yesterday who went to high school with you. I'm not going to, just to have their privacy because these are personal stories. So I'm going to keep the identity close.
Are they good or bad? Do I look bad in these stories?
No, they're not bad. Well, one of them's bad, but it has nothing to do with you.
Oh.
So the first one is, they remember, and it's funny because I want to know if you remember this. You know, we've talked about how like some stories you talk about in high school, like I'll never forget, da da da. The people who are involved in that might not recall that moment ever. And it's just so funny how our brains work that way. So they were telling me about this one day, I guess in gym class, they were doing some sort of like football challenge. Like there was like punts and like blah, blah, blah. Anyways, she ended up beating you. She beat you, but then she was called because the principal had called her down because her her little brother was being born. So she had to leave. So she was running off the field and you didn't know that, but you were running after
her. Did I throw a football at her?
No. You were running after her and you were like, hey, like you were like, you're amazing. Like you should play football. Like you tried to have this like genuine conversation to like hype her up with like how good she was because she beat you. And everyone knew that like you were a really good football player. And so she's like, and it was so nice, but like I was trying to run away because like my brother was being born and I didn't know how to be like, I'm actually not running away from you because I'm afraid that you're going to be upset because I beat you. Like I have a little brother being born and you're like, oh, you're like, okay, what? And then she left.
I don't remember that.
It's funny because I said that you would have because if a girl beat. Yeah, that's what I said. I said, I bet you Ryan is like, I remember that day.
I don't remember that. I remember it was in grade nine, Mr. Jankura's class. We did a punt, pass, and kick competition. I honestly don't recall losing.
Yeah, well, apparently you did.
In that.
Yeah, yeah. That's exactly what it was. Punt, pass, kick, because that's what she called it. And she's like, I actually ended up beating him, and then I had to run away. And I thought he was running up to me to, like, tell me that I don't even know, but I was like, it had nothing to do with him. And he was just so nice because he was like, man, like, you should really play football. Like, that was really good. You're really good. And you were like, I thank you, but I got to go.
I wish I remember that moment. Yeah. I do remember. It's weird because I do remember that day very specifically. I can tell you what the weather pattern was that day. And I remember it came down to Kenny Schaller and me. Because Kenny Schaller could kick the ball like a mile for some weird reason.
Yeah. Well, maybe that was like after she left and then it continued on. But like before she left.
She was beating me in one of the events. Perhaps. I don't recall that. I'm just really glad that I was nice to her.
Because I was. Chucks the football at her head.
I really did not like losing. I'm not going to lie. We just got Cooper's report card back. And that's the comment that came is like.
Cooper is a very competitive little boy is what it's. Said
yeah
because he and we need to work on when he isn't the winner or he loses we need to work on how to show team like support and spirit instead of like internally like he gets that from me
100%. I hate losing more than I like winning.
Shout out to Claritin for sponsoring this episode and providing samples.
Hey, Britt, you remember that summer a while ago I told you that my allergies were really bothering me, suggested we leave the party, but you didn't take me seriously?
In my defense, it was nighttime and I didn't see your face. Fond memory, but why are you bringing this up?
Well, I just wanted to tell you that I now have a secret little weapon called Claritin D.
So that's the magic pill that turns you from sneezy to breezy.
Yes, yes. It's like my allergy superhero in a tiny little pill.
Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin clear with Claritin D.
Designed for serious allergy sufferers like myself, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one little pill that relieves your allergy symptoms and decongests your nose so you can breathe better.
And it's not just any allergy pill, but a fast and powerful one. It starts working in 30 minutes?
No more sneezing, marathons, or feeling like my head's about to be stuck in a balloon.
And everyone around you doesn't have to stand 5 feet away while you're talking.
So I don't sneeze on them?
Quick learner.
But fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away, as you can find Claritin D at your pharmacy counter.
If you want to say goodbye to nasal congestion, runny noses, itchy eyes, ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter, and you don't even need a prescription.
Visit Claritin.com right now for a discount and start living Claritin clear today.
And remember, only use as directed.
Guys, have you tried the new wellness shots from Good Vibes Juice?
We have, and they're amazing. Perfect for boosting immunity and feeling great.
Good Vibes Juice makes all natural wellness shots with ingredients that support your immune system.
And they honestly taste good. Plus, they're great to have before you feel sick or even to help you recover faster.
It's like having granny's homemade remedy, but conveniently pre-made.
They have 3 different shots to choose from: Sick Day, Get Well, and Turmeric Daily. The Sick Day shot has echinacea and ginger, known for fighting off colds and boosting immunity.
The Get Well shots feature elderberry, a superfood ingredient that helps increase immunity, and the Turmeric Daily has turmeric and chamomile. My personal favorite is the Turmeric Daily. It has turmeric and chamomile, which for me, having recently turned 40, is great for anti-inflammatory and calming properties.
What's great is that these shots are all natural with no preservatives or additives. You can take them as a shot or mix them with hot water for a soothing tea.
And here's the best part. Visit goodvibes.juice.com and use promo code TLC to get free shipping and 20% off your first order.
That's www.goodvibesjuice.com with promo code TLC. Let's boost our immunity and feel great with Good Vibes Juice. Yeah, I'm not like that. I definitely like winning, but I don't care about losing. But I am competitive. I will definitely say that.
What do you mean? What do you mean you don't like, you're fine with losing?
No, like you said that you hate losing more than you like winning.
Oh, yeah.
I'm the opposite. Like I like to win more. Like I don't, it sucks if I lose, but I'm like, I wouldn't take it as hard as you would.
This is going
to
sound so pretentious. I'm going to say it anyways. Barry Sanders, one of the greatest, if not the greatest running backs of all time. When he got onto the end zone, he would hand the ball to the referee. Everyone would spike it. They would dance. He would just walk up to the referee and he'd hand it to him or he'd flip it over to him.
Okay.
And people were always like, how come you never celebrate? He's like, I'm a professional. I'm doing my job. My job is to score touchdowns. I need to act like I've been there before. And that's kind of how he's always been there.
Interesting.
And so like when you see some guy hand the ball to the referee, he's always referenced as like, act like you've been there is the saying that he is. This is where it's going to sound pretentious. When I commit to something, I expect to win. Mm-hmm. It's an expectation of mine that I'm going to win. So when I do, it's just like, yeah, I did my job. When I lose, I'm pissed because I expected to win. And I'm like, what did I do wrong? Like, I get so mad at losing. I hate losing.
Yeah, but I don't know, like, maybe that was you, but I haven't seen that side of you in a very long time.
That's not me anymore.
Yeah, no. I don't see that at all.
I actually hate that it's not me anymore. I'll be honest with you. There was a part of me that really liked getting angry.
Yeah, but what?
And you changed it.
You made me a better person.
You did. You did make me a better person for all the wrong ways. But
where would you have been like competitive like that? It's not like you play any like sports.
Yeah,
like
I've got no life anymore. And so my competitive drive is gone. No,
you are still competitive with golf. But the problem with golf is that it's all an internal battle.
I'm not competitive with golf at all.
Yes, you are.
I'm not good enough at golf to be competitive at golf.
You still get very angry.
Of course. So you good. Want the ball to go where you want it's the ball golf. To go.
You still it's have golf. It. You still have it.
Thanks, babe.
You're welcome.
You know what? You did change me, and I'm gonna give you credit for this.
It doesn't sound like it's
no.
a good thing.
No, it is. It is.
I give you credit. I fucking hate myself because of you.
There's parts of me I don't like about me anymore. No, I'm kidding. I used to argue. Like an argument to me was like a sports competition for me. I needed to win. I had to win. Mm. And I would do absolutely anything, not cheat, but I'd do absolutely anything within the rules of the game to win a sport or to win an argument. And when you and I first started dating, I remember the very first time we got in a legit argument, you started crying. And I was
fucking
like,
pussy.
And I was like, what? What are you doing? Why are you crying? We're just arguing over this. And you're like, that was so hurtful. And I was like, oh my God. Like,
why are you being a little bitch?
I thought about it later, to be honest with you. Like, that was not hard at all. I hadn't even, I was at like a six.
Yeah, but I had trauma from a past relationship.
I understand. And I get that. And we had a good conversation about that. And that's what changed it for me. I recognize, okay, I can win this conversation
and not be an ass
and not be a dick about it.
Yeah.
That was something that I have molded myself to now, you know, and then I think that my competitiveness is kind of gone because of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm cool with this now.
Okay.
I'm also almost 40. So like, what the fuck am I competing for? And who am I competing against?
So my second story also has to do with high school. And so it was about somebody in your school. Actually, yeah, that's fine. I'll say that. They arrived at school in grade 12 and had their picture printed off multiple times and posted all around the school of their naked body because they took naked pictures and sent it to their significant other and one of the guy's girlfriends found it, printed it, and posted it all over the school. She literally left the school and moved because she couldn't finish her year. How fucking sad is that?
Was I there?
I don't know.
Well, whoever told you the story, were they my age?
Yeah.
Then I would have been there. I don't remember.
No,
that
but
at all.
I don't know. Yeah, you would have because they said that it was a really hard year for her too because it was her sister. So it was really hard. But can you fucking imagine? I was like, that is like a walk to remember when that girl, well, it's not, it's kind of different because they like superimposed her face on like a magazine body and posted it around the school. But like, this is, can you imagine sending your boyfriend a sexy photo, which is so like, it was risque back then. Like you didn't do that. Now it's like, oh, that's a nude. It's fine. But like sending that, having somebody like the boyfriend clearly would have showed it to somebody who then saved it on their Windows 95, took it, printed it, and then photocopied it on yellow paper because they said it was yellow paper all over the school. I'm like, that's fucking sick. And can you imagine like if I'm the mother of the girl that this happened to, the way I wanted, I would beat the shit out of this girl. Like, I would want to go so ham. But then imagine being the mother of the girl who did this act. Like, I don't know what I would do. I would be classic. I'm so disappointed in you. That was like the worst thing that your parents could ever say to you. Like, are you mad at me? No. Just disappointed.
Well, the selfie shots happen now all the time, but before you had to print it out.
I know, right? But I'm just like, that's cruel. And like the bullying back then, I don't know. I just was like, oh my God, that's so sad. And then she had to leave the school. She couldn't even finish her fucking school year because she was so like gutted and embarrassed. I'm like,
yeah. So full disclosure, the worst thing
you don't remember that, eh?
No.
Wow. And that's like somebody's like the worst thing that's ever happened to this person.
I never saw the photos. I would have remembered if I saw the photos, so but I didn't see the photos. I remember a bunch of girls that we were friends with, a year younger than us. They had a girlfriend party over one time and someone pulled down a vibrator or a dildo or whatever. And they all took like funny photos with this vibrator dildo. And those photos got out and those photos got printed and got sent everywhere. But they were in on it. So it wasn't like a negative thing, or at least I didn't feel like it was a negative thing. I will say that my biggest regret in high school, the worst thing that I ever did or participated in, was something very similar to this.
You?
Yeah. Yeah. It was not good. So I one
this
time,
is like the question that you asked me last week or the week before. Was yeah, there
you
any?
You never asked me the question back. So I never got a chance to answer it.
No, I think we just moved on.
This is it. This is it. So a girl came, a girl that I had a pretty significant crush on for well over a year, came to the school. She had just graduated. She came to the school and we are having this conversation over the phone. And I asked her to make an inappropriate video. And so she did. And so she came to the school and she put it in my backpack. And I thought, I'll be honest with you, I actually thought she was joking. There's no way I thought she did this. And so after school, my routine for a good solid year was I went to my buddy Jamie Lilly's house. We had potato chips and watched wrestling and Dragon Ball Z. And played NHL on the PlayStation. Kamehameha. Yeah. And so we're playing NHL on the PlayStation. And I said, oh shit. This person gave me this video. Let's put it in the VCR and let's
with
see what this thing
there.
Is.
How shitty.
Keep in mind, I really thought.
What do you think it was going to be?
I really thought it was going to be like her coming on the camera and being like, you actually thought I was going to do this, okay. Right? So I put it on and it wasn't that at all. It was in fact exactly what I had asked her to do. And so I'd stopped the video and we went back to the PlayStation and our day went on. Long story short, I left his house and I didn't bring the video. He had the video. And then within about a week, a lot of guys had the video. Mm-hmm. And it took me about 3 weeks to figure out who had it and to get it back. And I did get it back. But by that time,
the damage was done. Was she fucking pissed?
Oh, my God. I think if she saw me again, like, I don't know how it wouldn't have like been terrible for her.
Yeah. Did you ever apologize?
I did. Yeah. And then, you know what? It was really weird. About 10 years ago, we were moving and I had this book and in the book was this like pink post-it note with her name and phone number on it. It was back when we lived at home with our parents. So it was her parents' phone number. And I called that number just to apologize again and didn't get anybody. But it's just weird how those things happen. And I'm 100% to blame for it. Like there's no other way around it. Were my friends shitty for passing it around? Of course they were, but they're also idiots and we're 18 years old. Yeah. And this is like
the same thing happened to a girl at my school who didn't particularly like me in school. Now she's a lovely person, incredible mom, kids. Like she's super sweet and we're totally fine now. She was dating somebody and took her shirt off on a webcam. And
I know exactly who this is. Yeah. And I never saw this video either.
Yeah. And then it got somebody sent it to me from another school and was like, did you see this in a like, look at, does this make you feel better? Because she wasn't particularly nice to me in school. And so it was kind of like sucks to be her, like bad things happen on mean people type thing. And I remember being like, that's so fucking shitty. Like she wasn't super nice to me, but I was like, I wouldn't wish that on anyone. Like, that sucks so bad. She was in this like private moment with her boyfriend that fucking saved this and then sent it to a bunch of people. I'm like, that's disgusting. Like, I remember just feeling so fucking bad for her. Like,
yeah, God. It was the worst thing that it was the worst thing I've ever done. It's the worst thing I've ever been part of. And it's probably the one thing I'll take to my grave that I'm like, man, I wish you would have done something different there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, at least you can have reflection on that and know that. Like, cause I bet you a lot of people wouldn't have that. Just be like, whatever, we're kids. Like, blame it on like the juvenile.
Were.
Yeah. But
we
like
kids.
And you're taking accountability. It's not an excuse. Yeah. Like, yeah, you can be a kid and still be a better person.
That was terrible.
Okay. So my last situation that I want to tell you happened yesterday at the mall. So I was at the mall and I ordered, I was in the food court and I ordered lunch and I'm sitting there and I notice there's two girls and two guys from high school. And I noticed right away that they see two other girls from their school. Okay. And the one girl who's approaching is like dressed a little more preppy, I would say. Cause you know, right now the style is very baggy, like baggy jeans, baggy shirts.
Wait. They're in high school or they're from your high school?
Like no. They're high school kids. Like teens or whatever. Okay. And so like the one girl who's approaching with her friend is dressed a little bit preppier, a little bit more polished than everybody else. So she's walking. And then the two girls who are sitting close to me, one of them says like, oh my God, Becky. I don't know what her name was.
Look at that butt.
Yeah, I know. Oh my God, Becky, why are you so dressed up? Like, you look so like, why are you so dressed up? Like, are you going somewhere? And it was such a backhanded, passive aggressive way to try to embarrass her in front of these guys, because she clearly like liked one of these guys and wanted to make Becky look less than or embarrassed in front of them. Like, I'm way too cool. Like, I don't have the time to dress up. And I just saw it on Becky's face. Like, she was like, oh no. Like, and I don't know what she was saying. I'm assuming she was probably making up some sort of excuse, because this happened to me a bunch of times in high school. Like, I was like, oh, maybe I want to look cute today. And someone was like, why are you so dressed up? And I literally remember being like, I have an interview or like whatever. I didn't. I just wanted to look cute. Anyways, I was so fucking mad at this girl for trying to belittle her and embarrass her to make herself look cooler in front of these two guys. And I'm like, does she know? Like, does she know that everyone is aware of what she's doing? Like, it's not sly. Everybody knows that you're trying to be a fucking bitch. Like, by you trying to belittle this other girl who you could see it on her face. I'm like, why are you so dressed up? you look great. Like, you look really great, but where are you going somewhere? Like, why are you so dressed up? I was so fucking pissed. And part of me wanted to go over. Actually, I made a TikTok on this and somebody said, you should have went over and been like, hey, Maria or whatever her name is, like, you're early for the interview. Like, do you want to go grab a drink and we can chat or whatever? You look great. And then like, take her over. I'm like, I would have been like a fucking predator. Like, hello, do you want to come? Like, it would have been so bad, but I'm like, in my head, that would have played out like so much cooler.
And then you would have looked at you and be like,
who the fuck are you?
Fuck. Stranger danger.
I know. Anyways, I just saw the whole thing play out and it was like infuriating, just because I saw so much of myself in Becky.
Being a kid is tough. Man, being a kid is so tough.
Yeah.
The emotions that exist, and I see it now with Riley's friends when we do the drop off.
Yeah.
There are certain things that are said in like, they're just said whatever.
Like without not even like intentional behind it. Like sometimes they're just said and they're not even trying to be mean, but like,
but you can see the impact.
Yeah, for sure.
You can see the impact and it's like, oh my God, yeah. I wish you wouldn't have said that to her, because now all day long,
she's going to think about that.
That is her day.
Yeah.
Her day started with coming up to you and coming up as a group, coming up and having all of this energy and like, oh, I can't wait to see my friends. The rest of this day is ruined for this poor girl. I hate it.
What were you going to talk about? Yours is more serious.
No, I got a question. It's perfectly segued. There's a segue.
Segued. It's a perfect segue.
It's a perfect segue.
Oh, that weird is sounding super weird right now.
Segue. You know what's really weird?
Segway.
Say almost any word like
enough times.
8 or 9 times. Not like the. Fast. Not like the. Don't do that. But like say the. By around the 10th time, you're like, ew.
Around the
that's such a weird word.
It is. It's super
anyways,
weird.
Anyways, here's the segue.
Okay.
I have a question for you.
But it's now.
We as parents, we struggle with this, like, what is hard parenting versus gentle parenting? Where's the middle ground? Are we raising our kids too soft? Are we being too hard on our kids? It's a constant battle.
Yeah.
And I know that we grew up in a world where parents said certain things to us that were like, we would never say now. Mm-hmm. Right. Mm-hmm. But I also think that we're good people.
Yeah.
So I think that some of the stuff that our parents said to us that you think, oh, wow, that's offside. You can never, like, what was that movie? What's that movie? You're like, Mom, you can't say that. Where you, she's definitely the killer or something like that.
Oh, yeah, totally killer. Like, there's some things that are said in that movie because they were accepted back in the 80s and now they're not. And she's like, Mom, you can't fucking say that. Anyways, I don't remember what the line
Anyways,
was.
So my question for you is this. What is one or two things that your parents said to you that were relatively hurtful or mean or hard to take in that you would never say now, but you live that, like, is it, it had a huge impact on you in a positive way. Like, you live it now. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Like, it was good advice, essentially.
I don't know if it was like a particular thing that was said, but I now as a parent, because I see it in Riley and I'm like, she's gonna fucking stop doing that. When I was younger, probably like grade six onwards, I was athletic. Like I just naturally was good at sports. But as I got older, society, I think, formed me more into being aware of like my body and how I look. And subconsciously, like, I was always aware of that. And so, I mean, you know the story, but like I played basketball in grade eight and I was okay. Like, I was pretty good at basketball and volleyball, but I became so self-aware of myself that it like faulted my game. And so I remember my dad made fun of me all the time because on the bench, I would be sitting waiting to go on, but I looked like, I just didn't look like a basketball player. Not that there's a certain way to look, but like I wasn't in the game. I was in my own head. And that just became a thing. Like, before I would go out and play a game, I would kind of act like I didn't know what I was doing, whether that's walking on the court, whether that's right before I was about to play, because part of me is like, well, if I don't look like I know what I'm doing, then I'll surprise people when I am really good at it. But it just, it's really distracting and it's really annoying. And Riley does that.
It drives me nuts.
She walks onto the cheer gym when the whole team comes out and everyone's cheering. And she literally is like, she purposely puts on this like weird face and running like as if she doesn't know what, and like as if she doesn't belong on the mat. And it's infuriating, but I get it because I literally used to do that.
So what did your dad used to say to you?
He didn't, again, it wasn't a single thing that it was said. It was probably multiple conversations that were like, you need to show up like you belong there. Like, you are good at this. You belong there. Don't worry about what you look like. Just show up and do your job. Like, kind of like when you would go football or that football story. And I didn't get that then. And I get it now, right? Like, show up, be in that activity, whatever it is, and just be there. Like, stop being so conscious of your body. And this is the saddest part, though, because I think it's a girl thing as well, especially in sports and as we get older. But I don't know, it has stuck with me to this day, because even now, like, I'm subconsciously aware when I arrive anywhere to play a sport, I think that I'm like, am I good at this? Like, I don't know. And then I get in my own head about it. But yeah, that's probably it. Hmm.
The lesson that I got from my dad, which is probably one of the meanest things he ever said to me.
Just a single tear has come down.
Real quick backstory. I had a buddy, Jesse Wilson, who was brilliant. He was so funny and he made everybody laugh. And he used to make me so jealous because he was so witty. For our age to be making adults laugh, it was like, man, this guy's witty. Mm-hmm. I want to have more of that wit. And Jesse was sleeping over one night and he made this joke and my dad started belly laughing. Well, I couldn't deal with that. So I made a joke and it wasn't funny. It was not even remotely close to funny. And my dad politely asked me to go upstairs because he wanted to talk to me. And so I...
Because he wanted to hang out with Jesse without you.
Just go upstairs, Ryan. Jesse's here with me. So we went upstairs and he sat me down in this chair that he had in his bedroom. And he said, Ryan, it is better to say nothing mm-hmm. and be thought of as a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt.
You talk about this so often.
Because it crushed me at that time.
Yeah.
But... it's so true. It's okay sometimes to just be silent. It's okay sometimes to just not, hey, listen, if I'm around 10 people who are smarter than me and they're talking about things I don't understand, I don't need to interject and be like, what do you guys thought about this? And then have every one of them look at me and be like, okay, thanks for your input there, bud.
Yeah. And you definitely have adapted this and used it in multiple like areas of your life, definitely in business. And that's something that I always really admire about you. Like when we are in a room, you've done multiple personal growth courses, and like you went to that one in Toronto that we had a whole bunch of those CEOs and you were learning, and you often talk about like, you just listen, and you're like a sponge with everything. And that is hard to do. Like most people just want to speak. They're listening to respond. They're not listening to keep that information and really learn. And you really listen to listen. And I've told you this before, but it is a really hard skill to do, to just be silent, because part of it is like, are they not talking because like they're stupid or they don't know anything? No, you're just listening. And it's hard to do. Like it really is hard to do.
If you don't know, if you're in a situation where people are smarter than you, just so you know, you're in the right room. Because if you're the smartest person in the room, you're in the wrong room. And I've come to realize that, like, I've become okay with being not the smartest in the room. In fact, I don't want to be the smartest in the room. Mm-hmm. When you feel like you need to interject, here's a little tip, because if you're listening to this,
here's a little tit.
Instead of saying something, instead of speaking and adding to, ask a question. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Just ask a question. Because that will tell the person that you're engaged. That will tell the person that you're interested in what they're talking about. And everybody loves talking. Mm-hmm. So the more you allow people to talk in their environment and in their world, the more they're going to think that was the greatest conversation they ever had. So if you're ever in a situation where you feel like I need to speak up, but you don't have anything to say, don't.
Don't.
Just ask a question. Just think of my dad making me cry upstairs. Dad, I love you. It was a very hard lesson, but I'm glad you gave it.
Stay up here. Me and Jesse are hanging out.
Okay. So here's what I'm pissed off about. Okay. We've got some time.
Okay.
As you guys know, we have launched TEM, and TEM is in the sexual health and wellness space. And because it's in the sexual health and wellness space, we are getting more indoctrinated in the space of sexual health and wellness. I'm listening to more podcasts. I'm talking to more experts. I'm just engulfing my world around sexual health and wellness. And I heard, and I'm not going to share names whatsoever because it doesn't really matter, I heard a snippet from a podcast yesterday, and it drove me nuts.
Not ours.
Oh, okay. No. Okay. Jake, I hated how you cut that. No, not ours. It was a snippet from a podcast, and it was two sex experts. Okay. So sexual coaches, right? And they were talking, and the one was talking to, they're both women. And the one was asking, well, what does sex mean to you? And so this woman was talking about passion and connection and this and that. And she was talking about all these things that just felt like more than sex. And I'm like, yes, yes, yes. And then she makes this comment and she says, well, I'm only speaking on behalf of women because men just want to have sex. Like sex is just sex for men.
Ooh.
And I thought,
fuck you.
Fuck you. Fuck you.
I'm sensitive.
You are a professional on a professional podcast talking about something that is deep and meaningful. And you have the opportunity and the platform to change a narrative around sex and men around sex.
That's such a blanket statement.
And you
too.
Make such, and I was talking to Jake about this morning. You speak in absolutes.
Yeah.
As if that's what men want. And I can tell you, I know a lot of married men that is not what sex is for. Mm-hmm. In fact, I would say that the majority of men, when it comes to sex in a relationship that they're in, is not just about sex. It's not just about the climax and the orgasm. It is about connection. It is about intimacy. It is about, you know, really connecting, I'll say it again, with your spouse. And I'm sitting here thinking, everyone laughed. And on the panel, everyone laughed. And I'm like, I get it, guys. For years and years and years, this has been the narrative. Men are pigs. Men are disgusting. Men just want sex. Blah, 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 blah. I get it. And it's not fucking true. It's not true. And shame on them for doing that. I'm so mad at that.
Shame.
I am. I'm mad. I'm like,
I love that you're mad. That makes me happy. If you were like, fucking cheers to that, I'd be like, oh, okay.
But, you know, here's the thing. And we got into a disagreement about this,
which we are not going to talk about right now.
We got into a disagreement about this the other day. And I'm not going to talk about the thing that I'm going to talk about. So don't worry about it.
Well, it sounds like you are.
Kind of.
Yeah. No, I don't want to, because honestly, we are running low on time and I'm not going to be able to just let this go. So let's just wrap it up.
Can I just say the snippet of what we were talking about?
No, because you're going to leave it and I'm not going to be able to not say something. And then we're going to like run into this whole thing.
I promise you I'm not.
Well, I don't know what you're going to say.
Well, then I'm going to say it. And if it goes off, then Jake can just get rid of it.
No.
Here's the thing.
Just save it. We can talk. I don't even want to talk about this on the podcast, because when you have this stance, it actually like infuriates me that you are this way in thinking. Like, I just don't want to talk about that because it's so opposite of who you are that it's not going to land. I promise you. Promise you.
All I was saying is it's not 1950.
Okay.
That's all I wanted to say.
All right. Let's just leave it.
It's not 1950. Men aren't who we were in 1950. Men have evolved. Men have grown. Men have adapted. This world today does not look like it looked like in 1950.
All I'm going to say.
Stop talking as if it's 1950.
Yeah, but
and stop treating us like it's 1950.
What do you mean us?
Men.
You are one person who has broadened their thoughts on women. I can confidently tell you there are a bunch of men out there who still look at women as objects to be used that are less than. And so for you to be like, we don't do that anymore. You don't. But there are men out there. There are literally incel forms.
And I would say.
Have you ever read anything about the incels?
What's an incel?
Exactly. You don't know. Exactly. It's not funny. It's fucked up. It's a bunch of men, boys. I'm going to call them boys, who have never had sex. Right. And so now they blame women because they think that women are punishing them. And so there's literally forms on the internet that talk amongst each other, the incel forums, about how these men are wanting to rape and do really terrible things to women. And then we'll literally take these like ideas and fantasies and go do them. Like, it's fucked up. And the fact that you don't even know what it is tells me that you don't realize that there are still men out there who treat women that way.
Let me be very clear. There are bad men. There are good men. There are bad women. There are good men.
Holy fuck.
There are bad doctors. There are good doctors. There are bad mechanics. There are good mechanics. What I'm saying is the overarching narrative that men are pigs and only care about sex needs to go away. Because I'll tell you right now, I can guarantee you, especially anybody who's listening to this podcast, there's no way they listen to this podcast if they're pigs.
Mm-hmm. No, and I understand in that aspect, I agree. Like, that's a blanket statement. I agreed with you that what this person said on the podcast, inaccurate.
And I would say the vast majority of married men are not looking for just sex.
Okay.
Guaranteed. Well, I can guarantee it. I'd even poll it. But I know that everybody that we poll it to who watches our stuff is going to be on my side, because we're just good men.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to be good men and want to have sex with your wife. I love sex with my wife.
Thanks.
All right. Well, in that case, peace out.
Have a great day.
Boop, 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 boop.
Sexist. Stop. Echoes aside from my soul.